Try this again. How's everyone doing? Good. That's good. Well, tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a conversation talking about church and why is it important. And we're going to look at it from a biblical perspective tonight. Is that okay? Well, if it's not, it's too bad. I'm going to talk about it anyway. So, simple as that. Now, I'm sorry. I have notes all the way up here, ladies, for you. So, I'm going to send it courier. Daytona Express, here it comes, and so, there you go, she's a postie in training, there you go, thank you Daytona. So, we're going to be talking about church attendance, and is it necessary? I don't know if you've noticed lately, and it's just not this church, but as many other churches, but, you know, it seems like church attendance in person seems to be down. And it's understandable, of course, because since we were 2 years of separation and, you know, things open up, things shut down and limited on who can come in and being separated and 6 feet apart and, you know, unclean, you know, stay away or whatever, you know. You had all these things going on. And, you know, some people just, you know, kind of got into the routine of staying home and watching online, which is a blessing as well. You know, it's been fantastic. I mean, during the pandemic, we were still doing what we've always done, you know. The gospel was still going out. Wasn't ideal, for sure. But, you know, online was always a beautiful thing that, you know, was a tool that we used. But it's something that we need to think about is that, you know, it's good, but we were not meant, human beings, and was not meant or designed to be separated from one another. And more so, even believers. You know, Scripture puts a lot of emphasis on how we're supposed to be assembling together and coming together and being united, and it's kind of hard to do that when you're set in your living room all by yourself. Amen? And so, tonight we're just going to have a little conversation about the importance of coming together. And, you know, the pandemic was a ride for sure, but, you know, there's got to be a time when we put certain things in the past, and they need to stay in the past, and we need to look forward to the future. Turn over in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, and this is going to be our text for this evening. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 in the New Living Translation, and it says, "And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His returning is drawing near." Guys, it's important for us to come together as the body of Christ to be united, because let me tell you something. Jesus is coming back very, very, very soon. We're in the last of the last of the last of the last days. All right? You know, it's kind of exciting to see the things that has taken place around the world. And, you know, well, that's a whole different message for another time. But things that was prophesied about in the Bible, they're happening this very day. Amen? And things are lining up for Jesus to return. Now, with that, there still comes a big responsibility that as believers, we still have a job and a task to do, and we're still supposed to be coming together, encouraging one another, and people's lives are still supposed to be being changed and transformed and turned on to God. Amen? And so, therefore, you know, we need to take this kind of serious here in Hebrews 10:25, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do. Even back then, there was still an issue with people, believers, not coming together. So this is not a new issue. This is not a pandemic issue. This has been, you know, since there's been a church issue, all right? And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another. When we come together, it's just something about, you know, coming together as a family that is nice. You build each other up. You encourage one another, you know? It's good to see people. And, you know, you get to talk about things, and you get to be all happy and positive. Miss Cindy talked about, you know, there's different ways we can give. You know, you can give someone a smile, give someone an encouraging word, you know. Tell somebody that you're praying for them, and you better pray for them. Just don't say it, but actually do it, you know. And so when you come together, it's vitally important. By a show of hands in this building tonight, how many people like coming together and fellowshipping with others? Let's see those hands. Yeah. Some people, they're trying to keep their hands down.
I don't like people.
Well, you know, sometimes you need to like people just a little bit. Amen? All right, let's keep going here. You know, Now, there are certain reasons why some people choose to not go to church, and you know, they choose to go to church, and it's not necessarily even the correct reason to go to church. You know, for instance, there's some people that attend church, but they do it out of a guilty conscience. They feel guilted into going, or you know, they experience fear for whatever reason, and they're afraid that God is going to smite them, you know, and punish them. Or even, you know, they go because it was a traditional thing to do, and that was their main reason for church attendance, was because it's what my family did, and so therefore I continue doing it that way. You see, guys, yes, going to church is never a bad thing, but your reason for doing it, you need to make sure that it's right. You see, guys, God designed church for people to come together. Now, before we go any further, we kind of need to figure out, what is church? Is it the building? Is it, you know, a certain location or a certain place? You know, is it a place out in the bush of solitude? What's a church? Well, let's look at it this way. Church, first of all, comes from the word, from the Greek word ecclesia, which means the called out ones. Ladies and gentlemen, the body of Christ are the ones that has been called by God. That's you, ladies and gentlemen. God has a call on your life. He's called every single one of us. We are all called to the body of Christ. So therefore, we are all part of His body, which is the church. Now, yeah, we see the different churches and, you know, we look at the building, right? But that's not actually the church. The church is the people that is inside. You know, this is just a building. This is just a shell, right? If this was to disappear tomorrow, you know, for whatever reason, the Faith City Church, the building disappeared, you know, but we still have the Faith City Church, which is the people. Amen? You know, this church, if you know a little bit about Faith City Church history, I mean, it's a very colorful past. I mean, different buildings and, you know, different places. And, I mean, it started off in hotels and different meeting rooms, meeting halls, and, you know, we had our building down on Secord for quite a few years, and praise Jesus, we sold that thing, you know, and then we got this place, and I mean, this place is pretty big, and now we're planning on expanding again, you know. But once again, that's just the building, right? The church is me and you. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're part of the church, and you're supposed to be here. Now, those few reasons that I gave you, you know, they're not necessarily the correct reason to go to church, you know, out of fear or guilt or just because it's something that your family always did. The reason we go to church is because we want to be connected to the Father. We want to learn. We want to grow. And we want to be connected to one another, not because of, out of an obligation. Once again, it's like it's a relational thing. It's based on our relationship with Jesus Christ. We come because we want to learn. We want to grow. We want to develop. We want to serve. You know, we want to give. All those things are involved in that. Let's see here. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, in the New Living, and it says, there we go. But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. Everyone say chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for He called you out of darkness and into the wonderful light. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we were called by God to do something and to be together. We're plucked out of that world of darkness. Thank you, Jesus. Salvation's a beautiful thing. And now, as a result, we show others the goodness of God. Now, in all reality, is we can't do that shut up in our homes doing nothing. We can't do that hiding, watching TV all day long. You see, we're supposed to be out on the highways and the byways and out in the different places and in the community. And we're supposed to be showing love to one another. We're supposed to be encouraging one another, building one another up. That is the way that church grows. And let me tell you something. You know, organic church growth comes from people, you know, spreading the gospel with one another. And then people coming into the church, you know, salvation. And then they come in and they become a part of that. There's another type of church growth, which seems to be somewhat popular here in Thunder Bay. You know, but we see people hopping from church to 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 church. And then when you think they got it all figured out, you know, they're still going from church to church to church to church, you know? And I'm going to tell you what, that's a pretty crazy game of leapfrog they're playing there, you know? It's important that you actually get grounded and rooted in one place. And we're going to talk about that in just a few moments here. But like 1 Peter 2:9, it says, you know, but you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. We are a chosen people, chosen by God. You are specifically handpicked by the Father. You know that? That's nice. I said, you are handpicked by God. He chose you to be in a certain place, to have a certain job, to do a certain task for Him. Out of all the billions of people on the face of the earth, you were ordained even before the foundations of the earth was laid, even before you were born, that you were picked by God. That gives me goosebumps when you think about it. Because it's like way long, long time ago, you know, God knew me, and He seen that one day what I would be doing. And He had a plan, and there's all types of scriptures about that. Jeremiah 29:11 is one for sure. Go to verse 10, please. Once you had no idea as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received what? God's mercy. That is right. Now, I'm already starting to see the benefits of belonging to God. I'm already starting to see the thing, like, you know, mercy is good sometimes, you know? And I'm glad that, well, it says, once you had no identity as a people, but now you're God's people. I'm glad I know who I am. My identification is in Christ. Now, Bible school students, we've been talking about righteousness, and then we know a little bit about our identification, or we should by now, because we've been talking about it, you know? Your identification is Christ. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. That's who you are. And with that, there's a whole bunch of benefits that come along with that, right? And so, because you belong to Christ, I mean, you're super duper. You're pretty awesome, you know? It's like you got some pretty cool things that belong to you right now, you know? And if you're not sure what I'm talking about, you need to grab a Bible school application, sign up for next year, and come sit in my class. Because you will learn lots about righteousness and about identification. Amen? Let's put a little plug in there for FLBC. There you go. Now, the Apostle Paul is referring to the church as the called out ones here. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 and 14 in the New Living. Let's look at that too. And are always thanking the Father, He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to His people who live in the light. Keep going. For He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Hallelujah. You see, once again, we see a couple key words there. Back it up to verse 12 there for me. I believe, yes, here it is. Always thanking the Father, He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to whose? Who? Is there three people awake? His people. Let's all say that together. That's right. So how many people in here is His people? All of us, you know? So that all belongs to us, you know? He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to His people. So, we're seeing here that that belongs to the church, the body of Christ. That is us. Corporately, His inheritance is ours. Now, whatever Christ has, that means we have also. So, let me ask you this question. Is Jesus full of depression and sadness right now? No, I don't think so. Is He sick? No. Is He broke? No. Is He defeated? No. He's the exact opposite of all those things, amen? He is not full of sorrow. He's full of joy. Come on. He's not full of depression and anxiety and fear, but He's full of peace and love. Come on now. And I know he ain't broke because the place where he lives, the streets are paved with gold, baby. Come on now. And the gates, you know, the fence around the place, the gates, come on, they're made of pearls. Big ol' suckers, too, you know? Like, the boy is not broke. He got a few dollars kicking around, I guarantee it, okay? And so, therefore, we got to think about that. So if I share in his inheritance, if Christ has all those wonderful things, if he is blessed and he is not stressed and he's full of joy and love, that must mean if I share in that and I belong to Christ, well, that must mean that belongs to me too. Woo-wee! You know? Guys, there's benefits to belong. There's a company that has that slogan. I forget what company it is. It is benefits to belong. I'm not sure what it is. It's one of those. Costco, maybe? I don't know. But there is benefits to belong to the body of Christ. Amen? I'll tell you, I'm preaching a lot better than what you're amening. Now, amen, little girl. That's my daughter. She's going to shout me through. Ephesians chapter 2. Turn over there. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. And we're going to go to 22. And it says, here we go. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. Now look right here. You are members of God's family. Members of God's family. That means you're part of the church. Together we are in His house. This is not, you know, someone else's house. This is God's house. Built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus Himself. We are carefully joined together in Him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through Him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by His Spirit. Now, we're really starting to see here in these few passages of Scriptures that we're reading that, you know, believers, we are joined together in Christ. And that is the way that God had intended it for it to be. We were never designed to be separated or segregated apart. And the words and the phrases here in these passages of Scripture actually shows us that we're not to be our own little independent separate islands to ourselves. But rather, you know, when we look at the verbiage that's used here, chosen, called out, God's people, members of God's family, together we are His house, carefully joined together in Him. The more we look at this, the more we see that we're supposed to be together and that we're set apart and that we're chosen. And that it doesn't say that we're individuals by ourselves. It doesn't work like that. It needs to come together. And then as we see further on in Scripture, it talks about how people coming together, wherever two or three are gathered, you know, in My name. He's there in our midst. Amen? And it talks about, and we'll look at this a little bit more in a few moments, you know, that they went, when some of the apostles went through some tough times, that they went back to their own company, their own people, their own fellowship, and they were comforted and they prayed together and they worshiped together. I mean, when people come back to where they need to belong, there is a mighty power that takes place there. Guys, right now you're sitting in a powerhouse. And I don't know if you realize it or not, but when you get believers of like-minded faith together and they believe in the mighty moving power of Jesus Christ, something has to change. You know? And yes, you can sit by yourself and believe God, but there's something about coming together in unity and coming together and praying together and believing together and adding your faith to one another. And man, you know, yeah, you got power on your own, but when you get two together and three together and 10 together and 100 together and 1,000 together, look out, Satan, you're in trouble, buddy. Amen? See, I'm still preaching better than what you're shouting. All right, we're going to get there. Praise God. Well, in our text of Hebrews 10:25, we see, you know, some very obvious suggestions here and truths on why it is important and necessary to, you know, go to church regular. Once again, it says in Hebrews 10:25, let us not neglect our meeting together. Let's not neglect it. Let's not forget about it. Let's be like, oh, it's okay. You know, I don't need to go. I don't need to be consistent. They're fine without me. You know, they're not even going to miss that I'm there. Let me tell you something. We miss when you're not here. Amen? Wow, that was a quiet amen. Amen, amen, Jerry? Amen. You know, when people are missing, we know, you know? Because there's just something when everyone's together and everyone's doing stuff and everyone's praising together. You know, it's nice that when we're up here and we're praising and worshiping together, it makes it so nice that when you look out across the auditorium and you see people's hands just raised and people all just singing and praising. And there's many times when I'm just listening to all the voices just singing together and I'm like, man, it's just a little glimpse of heaven. When everyone's singing in unison, praises to the Father, amen? Singing worship. You know, it's nothing like it when you just sit. And I don't know if you've ever done that or if I'm just a weird one here and I just do it by myself, you know. But, you know, this nice, and I've gone to different churches, and like when we go to Rhema, there's many times I just stop, I don't even sing, I just stand there, and I just listen, you know? And I was listening to like thousands of voices just singing praises, and I'm like, oh man, this is what heaven's going to be like. Only magnify it, but like a lot, you know? And it gets me excited seeing and hearing people together in unity. And it just does something for your spirit. It just starts building you up, and you start getting excited, you know? You feel like you can take on the world, because technically you can. Because you got Jesus on the inside of you, right? But you just get that empowerment. Like I said, you get built up. You're in a powerhouse. You're a part of a powerhouse. Three people, yeah. Now, this passage of Scripture here also kind of warns us a little bit too, you know, that we should not neglect, it says. We should not neglect the meeting together, as some people do. Because if they're saying that, there's probably going to be consequences to that. And then he continues on and says, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. See, I much rather be prepared and, you know, come here and learn and grow and be in unison together with people. You know, I don't want to neglect the coming together because I know there's going to be tough times ahead. You know, have you looked at the price of gas lately? It's come down a little bit. That's nice, you know. But the price of groceries, lettuce has gone through the roof. Why is lettuce so expensive all of a sudden? You know, all these crazy things is going on. I mean, there's going to be some crazy stuff happening in the world. There's crazy stuff happening now, you know. There's going to be some tough times and some things. But you know what? I want to be prepared. I want to have my brothers and sisters here who I can agree with to have my back so I can have their back too also. Amen? All right, let's keep going here. Now, I talked about this a few moments earlier, but in Acts 4:23, we see that Peter and John face some troubles, and the Bible said that they went back to their own company. You know, they got literally raked over the coals by some religious leaders, and I mean, they were given a tongue lashing for what they were doing. And let me tell you something, they went back, they were actually released, you know, it was borderline, there was touch and go there for a little while if you read the story, if they're going to be released or not, if they're going to be imprisoned. But they were released. And they did not go to, like, you know, some random person's house. And they didn't go out to Applebee's after to recoup. And, you know, they didn't go to Tim Hortons to sit down and talk about it. But Scripture says they went back to their own company. That also tells us that there's other companies as well. There's other groups, other fellowships. But they went back to theirs where they belonged. Are you listening to me? Now, guys, in the city of Thunder Bay, there's lots of other churches. There's lots of other companies, other fellowships. But God has placed you in a specific place that pleases Him, not you, that pleases Him because He has a divine purpose for you in that company. Amen. And these guys, they went back to their own company. And if you read it out, you see in there that they gave the report of what took place, and their family, their company, those people around them, you know, agreed and they praised and worshiped God together. Amen. So, and in Matthew 18:20, Jesus said, for wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So once again, we see what happens when people come together. God is in the midst. You know? So, let me ask this question. What does God say about church attendance? Well, He says a lot, actually. God says, number one, God says it's necessary to belong somewhere. In Hebrews 10:25, we already looked at the scripture, but we're going to look at it again. It says, you got it up there, Hebrews 10:25, and let us not neglect our meeting together, for some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of returning, or day of his return is drawing near. We are not to neglect. We are supposed to come together. We're not supposed to go by the wayside. You know, and that word assembling, or that meeting, you know, that actually refers to like the same thing as building a puzzle or putting Legos together. Okay? Assembly, connecting, putting together. Now, you know about a puzzle, right? You know I hate puzzles with a passion. Like, I mean, every fiber of my being despises puzzles. All right? At the beginning of the pandemic, we bought a puzzle because it was the cool thing to do, because that's what everyone was doing to pass the time. And a month later, that sucker was still in the same position to where I had left it, you know? And eventually it got to the place that I believe it was this past summer, we had a yard sale here at the church. Oh, yeah, bye-bye. You know, I got rid of that wretched thing, you know? I hate puzzles. But the concept of it is pretty neat when you think about it. Because in order to see the full picture of the puzzle is that there's a specific place for each individual piece. And ladies and gentlemen, in the body of Christ, look at the body of Christ as a big puzzle. You are a piece. Now, what happens if you're not placed in that body or in that picture? You can't see the full thing. It's not a whole. It can't be complete. It can't be what it's supposed to be because something is missing. It doesn't matter if you're a corner piece or a side piece or, you know, you're just a middle piece somewhere. You still can't see the full picture. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You ever put a puzzle together and you've been missing a piece? And you spend so much time working on this thing and it's like, oh my Lord, where's the piece? You know? And you scour. You know? I've even known people that they've lost pieces and they actually try and make a piece on a piece of cardboard and color it in to make it match. You know? That's what I call desperate. You know? I'm not messing with no stinking puzzles, you know. I'll sit down with Allie, and we'll do one of those wooden puzzles where it's like six pieces, and it's like a alligator matches the alligator. I think that's my speed of a puzzle. I know where it goes. All right. Just curious, who in here actually likes doing puzzles? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm praying for y'all. How do you do it? Genius, yeah, genius level. I know. Jen, you do puzzles? No, look at that. Hate them. Yeah, see, power to the to the anti-puzzlers. I'm telling you got to be a special person to put... See, that's your place in the body of Christ. Puzzle putter togethers, whatever that job is. A puzzler. So God says it is necessary to belong somewhere. So we were designed to be fitted together. Matthew 18, verse 20. Let's look at that real quick. And it says, "Forever two or three are gathered together as my followers, I am there among them." So, once again, we're gathered. That means to assemble. That means to come together. That means that we're in the place where we're supposed to be. You know, connected up. Guys, this is very important what we're doing tonight because we are here together. All right. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, I'm giving you lots of scriptures because we need to clearly see this. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. Let's look at that one as well. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. You know, everybody here got different gifts and different talents and different abilities. You know, there's people in here who can put puzzles together. You know, there's people in here who can sing. There's people in here that can, you know, got different tasks, different abilities. There's people in here who can play instruments. You know, they can run cameras, or they can look after children, or they can cook, or they can, you know, preach and teach, or they all have different jobs that they can do. Some people can build houses. Some people are electricians. Some people, you know, they're lawyers, they're doctors, they're teachers, you know, whatever they are, candlestick makers, you name it. We got people that got different jobs, different tasks. They have different abilities, you know. Well, here we go. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. You're not a mistake, you're not an accident, your gifts, your abilities was ordained by God. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. All right, let's look at Faith City Church for a second. We have Pastor Roma and Miss Anita, who are the senior lead pastors here at this church. Now, They can't do everything. Now, in the beginning, in the humble beginnings, they did almost everything, all right? But now, things have grown, things have changed, right? Pastor can't preach and run camera and TriCaster and audio and put the scriptures up on the screen all at the same time. It just doesn't work that way. Plus, he can't run out and do the nursery, the preschool, and the Faith Kids class at the same time either. It just doesn't work like that, you know? It's impossible for him. But there's people that have different gifts and different abilities, so pastor can do his job up here. So when he's preaching, we got camera operators. We got guys back there working the TriCaster and on the computer and putting the scriptures up. We have children's workers out there doing stuff. We have ushers. We have greeters. You know, we got musicians. We got singers. Come on now. We got all types of people that are using their talents, their gifts and abilities right here in this church because that is where God had placed them to be for such a time as this, to do what they're called to do, to be a part of something that is much bigger than ourselves. You know, so we can complete the task that God has set before me and you to do. Guys, we might not be called to preach to millions of people, but we are all called to support, to build up, and to encourage. Spirit Alive goes all around the world. You know, you might never be on camera. Actually, you might not even realize it, but most of you have been on camera at one point or another. Crowd shots are a beautiful thing, you know. There's some guy over in Uganda somewhere, and they recognize you, you know? Hey, I know her, you know? You get to heaven, and be all these people come up to you. I seen you. You went to Faith City Church, you know? And they'll tell you, right? I watched you, you know? And it's gonna be some cool stuff like that, but, you know, we're supporting in our positions that God has ordained us to be in so we can work effectually for the kingdom of God. Amen. All right, let's keep going here. Now, God said it's necessary for us to go. We looked at a bunch of scriptures already. Okay, God said we need to find our place. It's no fun wandering. There's no fun being all by yourself, you know? I kind of think about it this way, is we have a couple of puppy dogs, and they're little rescue dogs, we'll call them, you know? And they needed a home. And our first guy that we got about 8 years ago, his name is Pierre, he came from the pound. And, you know, he was neglected. He was out all by himself, poor little guy. And when we first seen him, he was a shaggy mess of a little pup. He was a mess. And he had anxiety issues, and, you know, he was just a dog that people had kind of neglected. And I went to the pound, and I had the conversation with the lady there about it, and I said, listen, I'm looking for a puppy. And, you know, not something that's not going to be too big. And she's like, well, all we have in puppies are these little guys over here, but they're going to grow big. They're going to be like 70, 80, 90 pounds. Well, I'm like, well, I don't want something that's almost as big as what I am. And so, that's a joke, those of you who don't know, okay? And I was like, I'm looking for something small, a smaller breed dog. I got a couple small kids. The kids were quite young then. And I need something, I'm looking for something smaller. Well, she's like, I have this one dog, and we don't know what we're going to do with. I said, what do you mean you don't know what you're going to do with? And she started naming up all the things. Well, he's not socializing with people. He's got some anxiety things, and we really don't know. He's really, like, in a shell. He won't come out. He won't, you know, he's just not a people dog type thing. I'm like, okay. Well, can I see him? And she's like, what do you mean? I'm like, I want to see this dog. She goes, well, I don't bring people back here normally, but all right, come on. And as I walked into the back of that holding area, there was all these little dogs in here losing their minds because someone's walking through. And here was Pierre, our dog. And he came out, and he looked like a mop that was in the fits, okay? I mean, his fur was down to the ground. He snaggly tooth. I mean, he was just a sight, I guarantee it. But you know what's funny? Because as soon as I walked into that room, he walked out of the corner of his cage where he was. He walked straight towards me, turned side on, and looked at me. And then he sat down, and I looked at the lady, and I went over to the dog, and I just looked at the dog, and I looked at the lady, I said, that's my dog. And she's like, what? She's like, no. I was like, yeah, that's my dog. My wife was with me too, and she's like, what? I fell in love with the ugliest thing that was in the pound, all right, at that time. And I looked at him, and I'm like, oh, man. But see, looking back at that, it's like, That's the way God was with us, because we were pretty ugly sometimes. You know, we've done some pretty ugly stuff, you know. And this dog was alone. He had no family. He had no nothing. He was just all by himself. But, you know, for whatever reason, I was drawn to this little dog, and he's become the greatest little blessing to our family. And we've had him now for 8 years, you know. And, I mean, he's just the greatest puppy ever. We absolutely love him, you know. And then we got this new little guy that's 4 months old, and I think he's partly spawn of Satan. But, I mean, I call him Baby Shark, but he is so cute. I love him to bits, you know. Kendra argued with me. She goes, we're not getting a puppy. We're not having a puppy. What did we get? A puppy, right? But once again, here was this dog. He had a family, but he needed a new family. He needed to connect. He needed to be a part of something. And you know what? As crazy as this little pup is, he fits in our family perfect, because there's 4 kids. Yeah, we're all crazy, right? But, I mean, he fits in. The kids love him. He's a Leah size. You know, he's just a little puppy. He's so much fun. He's 4 months old now. We call him Oreo, and we're so blessed to have him too. But you see, like my little pups, they were wandering around, but now they have a family. They're connected where they belong. And now these dogs know the routine. They know where they can go and what belongs to them, you know? It's the same thing with us in the body of Christ, is that, you know, there are times when we were left alone. We were all by ourselves. But now we are connected up. We've come into the family. We found where we belong. We found the place that we're supposed to be. Amen? And for a lot of us in this room right now, it's right here at Faith City Church. Amen? This is our family. This is our place that we're supposed to be. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 18. We'll go through this real quick. When I was with you, I certainly gave you proof that I am an apostle, for I patiently did many signs and wonders and miracles among you. The only thing I failed to do, which I do the other churches, was to become a financial burden to you. Please forgive me. This is the wrong scripture verse. What did I say? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. That's 12? To 18? That was 2 Corinthians? For as one body is one? No, I got it. 1 Corinthians. Is it? 1 Corinthians. Yeah. Who's running this here anyway? 1 Corinthians, Kelsey. There we go. There it is. I'm not going to blame Kelsey for this one. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up the whole body, so it is with the body of Christ. Keep going. Some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles, some of us are Nufi, some of us are Ojibwe, some are slaves, some are free. But we all have been baptized into the body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? No. Keep going. If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where He wants it. We got to keep that in mind, that it's where God wants it, not where we want it. Okay? A lot of times we argue and we fight, I don't want to go to Faith City Church. You know, they're crazy over there. And God is saying, this is where you need to be, because you're just as crazy. Okay? You fit right in. You're the ringleader. You need to be there. You need to be there. You know, you have to be there. They need you over there. You're going to bring the crazy up a few notches. Okay? Look, I got Pastor Rome over there. I got Pastor Ken over there. I got Pastor Steve over there. You'll fit right in. The boys are all nuts, you know? And that's where you need to be. Aren't you thankful for the little bit of crazy that's around here? I know I am. Amen? We are members of one body, and this is our place. Now, a lot of times we argue with God, and we're like, well, I want to go here. And this is why a lot of people are church hopping, because they're not listening to where God wants them to be. God will plant you and use you where He needs you to be. Pastor Dave and Miss Kathy, they actually moved from Southern Ontario, you know, to up here, because this is where they're supposed to be. Pastor Ken moved from out west, down Oklahoma and up here with Miss Cindy, because this is where we're supposed to be. You know, me and my wife, we moved from Newfoundland via Oklahoma to come here because this is where we're supposed to be, right? You know, there's people that has moved, they've transplanted their lives to be here. And I just don't mean, you know, moved a couple kilometers over, you know, changed churches. I mean, they moved provinces to be at this place. I mean, when God has called you to be somewhere, you better follow that call because God has a specific plan for you. All right. Now, what else is there in this whole going in the right place and being in the right church? Well, I'm glad you asked, because provision and prosperity will be found in His plan for you also. You know, sometimes we want to do our own thing and we expect to be on top all the time and always be a huge success. I'm going to do it my way. Well, not always do our way work. There's been times when I've tried to do it my way and it fails miserably. Just ask my wife. That's why I do it her way. And so, you know, no, there's times we got to yield ourselves and listen to God and do what He's called us, the way that we're supposed to do it through Him. In Psalm 127, verse 1, we'll just look at this. It says, unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. So there's no good for you to be going off and trying to do things on your own strength, on your own time, in your own abilities, and not, you know, even giving heed to what the Lord is saying or what He wants. But if you try to do it your own way, it's not going to work out the way it needs to. But when you build it upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, the church is built, the cornerstone is Jesus Christ, well, come on now, you're going to start seeing things happening. Over 30 years ago, Pastor Roma and Miss Anita followed the call of God and started building this ministry. And it's continued to build and continue to grow today. He didn't wake up one morning and be like, I think it'd be a good idea to start church. You know, I think I'm going to be a pastor today. Why would you want to do that? You crazy? You know, he had a call. They had a call on their life to do that. Amen? And it's because of their obedience we're here, where it's a part of their plan. What if they wouldn't be obedient? Where would we be today? Interesting. Also, here we go. Let's look at another one. Let's look at Psalm 35. Psalm 35. Let's look at the Passion there, Miss Kels, just to change it up a little bit. The Passion Translation. Psalm 35, verse 27. We're almost done. Boston is playing. I got to watch the third period. But let all my true friends shout for joy. All those who know and love what I do for you, let them say, the Lord is great and He delights in the prosperity of His servant. You see, when you're in the place you're supposed to be, you're going to flourish, you're going to grow, you're going to prosper where you need to be. At Faith City Church, you will flourish, you will grow, and you will prosper. Okay? Take my word for it. Because me and my wife, we are flourishing and we are prospering because we are obedient to God and we are planted where we need to be. You know, how many of you have experienced prosperity in your life in many different areas since you've been here at Faith City Church? Anybody? You know, I see hands going up all across this place. That's right. You know, you will prosper when you're in the right place where you are supposed to be. Can I get a big amen? Amen. Now, the last thing I want to talk about to you is, you know, what God has to say about church and being in church. You know, God says we have a place. Yeah, we got to try and find a place, but God says we have it. God says there is a place for me and you. Romans chapter 12. No, actually back up. Sorry, Kels. Ephesians 4:16 once again. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4:16 one more time. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. God has that place for me and you. You all have gifts and abilities. You all have a task, a job that you can do. You all have something you can do. You look here, I mean, there's some people here, they're fantastic ushers. They're fantastic children's workers. They're fantastic musicians, camera operators, you know, tech people, artists, designers, whatever, you know. We have awesome people here. There's people here, I mean, they are the best cleaners I've ever seen in my life. You know? Gene and Jerry are two of those. You know? I mean, you want to see vacuums work. Holy Moses, I'm telling you, there's vacuums going every which way. And I mean, it gets crazy in here. When they're going with their vacuums, it's danger to walk in here because they all suck the hair off your head if you're not careful. I guarantee it. All right. God says we have a place. Now, even though there's people that can actually work outside of God's plan, you know, and they can try and make things work for them, you know, if they dream and they build it, they can work on it, but it's not going to be the way that God wants it to be, and it's not going to be as successful and as fruitful and beneficial to them as they think that it can be. You understand me? See, we got to think this, is that, you know, there's lots of people in the world and they aspire to different things, you know? And not everybody follows Jesus Christ. And there are people out there that are successful, what they're doing, and they're really not church people. They're really not connected up to God. They don't have that relationship with Christ. But, you know, the way I look at it, Scripture talks about it, is that the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. And so that, you know, God will turn things around. God will move stuff. God will move on people's hearts. And God will minister to people. But, you know, ultimately, you know, God's got a plan. Now, we don't fully understand everything all the time, which is good, because I don't want to. I mean, there's too much to try and figure out. But when we trust in the Lord, we do things His way, you know, I can guarantee that it's going to go a little bit easier than us trying to do it on our own. We have a purpose for our existence. And that's what Romans chapter 12, verse 4 to 6. And it says, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we belong to each other. In His grace, God has given us different gifts of doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. You know, you have a purpose. You're not a mistake. You're not a screw up. You are designed purposeful by God. Amen. Jeremiah 29:11 is a very common scripture, you know. But if we follow that scripture, life just makes sense. You know, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Amen? Good. Good plans. In 1 Corinthians 12:18, it says, but now God hath set the members, each one of them, in the body, and that has pleased Him. You know, like it says, it doesn't say it pleases us, it says it pleases God. God has that specific place for me and you. Church attendance, being a part of the family of God, being involved in the fellowship is super important. We need to know where we are supposed to be. And just not know, but act on it and be something. We're supposed to get involved. You're not going to please everybody. And you know what? You're not necessarily going to like everybody. There's going to be times when there's going to be friction. There might be a few issues every now and then. But that's okay. Because, first of all, we're learning to walk in love. And we're learning to forgive. We're learning to forget. We're learning to put our trust and our faith in the Lord. Amen? Everyone stand on your feet tonight. And like I said, we've seen through the scriptures, I've given you quite a few scriptures and looked at them several times, you know, that church attendance is very important for believers and to find out where we belong. We give of our talents and our abilities here to where you're supposed to be. We have safety and love and acceptance, but we also give as well of our abilities, you know. We are part of a family and we have a purpose. You're not a mistake, you're not a screw up. There is a place for each and every one of us. Guys, allow God to lead you to where you need to be. Yield your heart to Him. Allow Him to lead and guide you to your place where you're supposed to be. To fill in your piece of the puzzle. To be a part of the body of Christ. To not just stay home and watch on TV, but to actually come back to church. Come get involved. Come and do something. Give of your abilities. I mean, we got some cool events happening coming up again. I know this last few months have been pretty crazy around here, but we still got more stuff happening. The church needs to continue to grow. Because if the church is not growing, it's receding. And ultimately, if that keeps happening, it's going to die. But we don't need that. We don't want that. There's a lot that needs to be done. And that's not God's best. Amen? So I encourage you, and I challenge you today. Get involved. Come back home. Come to be a part. Do something. Use your gifts. Use your abilities. With every head bowed, every eye closed. We don't like to close a service without doing this. But if There's anyone in this place tonight and you need to make sure everything is all right between you and God? You need to make sure that you and Jesus are on the right track together. If you need Jesus in your life, I just want you to slip up your hand if that's you. If you need to make sure that everything is good, A-okay, with every head bowed, every eye closed. If that's you and you need to make sure Jesus is number one in your life, everything is good. Thank you for your hand. Thank you. Anyone else? Slip up your hand. Thank you. We're going to pray a general prayer together. You repeat after me. We're going to rededicate our lives together tonight. And we're going to thank Him for His goodness and the ability that we can come together as one. So everyone at the sound of my voice, repeat after me. Say, Dear Jesus, tonight I choose to follow You. 100%. I commit myself to You tonight, Lord. Be my Lord and Savior. Father, I cast all my cares, all my worries, all my anxieties, all my fears to You, Lord. Father, I just pray right now that You are going to use me, going to guide me, show me what I'm supposed to do. Take me to the places I need to go. I commit myself to You tonight, wholly, 100%. I love You, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.